I invite your attention to the reading of our scripture. It's been recorded in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter, and I shall begin reading with the 5th verse. Matthew chapter 6, verse 5. When you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogue and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think that they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you have need before you ask. This is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Amen. Let us bow for a moment of silent prayer. We ask it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever paused to consider how many times during any given week that you are asked to pray about a situation? If you're like I am, that happens regularly. Sometimes the request seems to be a rather casual request. We're with a friend, and just before they leave, they turn and almost in an offhanded way, they say, "When you think about it, will you pray for me?" And we always answer, "Of course I will." Other times the request comes from the intensity of a need. There is a pressing personal problem, a deep need, a frightful experience, and the person asking us to pray is asking us to join them in praying that God will intervene in the affairs of their lives. You know, the more we think about it, the more we realize that we are being asked to pray often. Right here at Central Church, we are making plans for our mission conference. That conference will take place the first week of March. The emphasis this year will be on our sister church in the Ukraine. Right now, we are being asked to pray about that mission conference and all of those who will be a part of it. Well, there is a man or a woman, they have just lost their job. They're disappointed. They're discouraged, frightened. The prospects of a job are not too good out there. And they really do not know what the future holds for them. And they ask us to pray with them about the job situation. Or there is a person who is sick, and they ask us to pray that God would bring healing in their lives. Here is another person who has a critical decision to make, a decision that will affect not only their lives, but all of those around them. And they do not know what to do. And they're asking us to pray for God's wisdom in the decision that needs to be made. There is a person who has a pressing financial need, and they do not see how in all of this world that need will ever be met. And they are asking us to pray for God's provision. The list goes on. You see, it's a fact of life that problems become woven into the very fabric of our lives, and these problems threaten to overwhelm us and to paralyze us, and we find ourselves regularly being asked to pray about circumstances and situations in other people's lives. Well, in light of that this morning, we need to ask two questions, and we need to seek for the answer. The first question is this: does it make any difference for us to pray about a situation? You know, deep in our heart, we believe that it should. But then sometimes we have prayed about things, and nothing seems to happen, and we begin to doubt, and we wonder, does it really make any difference to pray? Well, we go back to our authority, which is the Word of God, and we search for the answer. And when we do that, we discover that it does make a difference when we pray. And we know that is true because it made a difference in the lives of so many of God's people in Scripture. For example, it made a difference in Abraham's life. You recall one day that God came to Abraham and he said, Abraham, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah are wicked cities and I'm going to destroy them. Well, Abraham talked to God about that. We call it prayer, and we have permission to listen in on their conversation. And Abraham is praying, said, will not the Lord of all the earth do right? Will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? If 50 righteous people can be found in the city, would you not spare the city for the sake of 50 righteous? God answers, Abraham, if in the city of Sodom 50 righteous can be found, I will spare the whole place for their sake. Well, you remember Abraham was a bold man, and he continued praying. And every time he prayed, he lowered his number until finally he said, Lord, if 10 righteous people could be found, wouldn't you spare it for the sake of 10 righteous? And God said, Abraham, if you can find 10 righteous in the city, I will spare it for their sake. Well, you remember 10 righteous could not be found, and God wiped it away. Prayer certainly made a difference with Moses. Moses had reluctantly accepted God's call to return to Egypt and to lead the Israelites from Egypt to the promised land. And despite the fact that God had blessed and provided for them abundantly on that whole journey, every time they came to a tight corner, they murmured and they rebelled against God and against Moses. And one day God had all he could take. And he said, Moses, I am going to wipe this people out, and I will build a greater nation through you. And immediately Moses came to pray. The Lord is long-suffering, abundant in mercy, forgiving sin and rebellion. Therefore, according to your great mercy, forgive the sins of this people. And God answered, Moses, according to your word, I have pardoned. Prayer certainly made a difference in the life of Hezekiah. Sennacherib was ready to invade Israel, and it was apparent that Israel would be no match for them. Hezekiah had no concerns at all. He just turned to God in prayer. He said, Lord, save us from their hands, so that all the kings of the earth will know that you are the Lord. And God answered, Hezekiah, he will not come into the city, not even shoot an arrow in it. And he sent his angels to disperse the army of Sennacherib. Prayer made a difference in the life of that early church in Acts. We are told that they were together in one accord in prayer, and the promise of God fell. The Holy Spirit came upon them, and they received power to be the people of God. You see, every place we turn in Scripture, we discover that prayer is our connecting link with God. And when God's people pray, God moves in power. That was true for those folk. I'm absolutely convinced it is true for you and me today. But then that brings us to the second question. If it does make a difference when we pray, how are we supposed to pray? That's the same question the disciples asked Jesus. They did it like this. They said, Lord, teach us to pray. Now, these disciples had been with Jesus through the whole of his public ministry. Can you imagine how much they had seen and heard and been involved in? They heard him teach. Man, he spoke as no man had ever spoken before. The common people heard him gladly because through his words they found words of hope in a world that seemed to be hopeless. The religious leaders were not too happy about that, because when Jesus taught, the people were being set free, and when they were being set free, they were turning away from the authority of the religious leaders. And these religious leaders saw themselves losing control. They didn't like that at all. The disciples watched Jesus in his compassion. You know, as he moved among the people, he rubbed shoulders with them. He talked with them. He shared life with them. And when he saw these people hungry and desperate and lonely and hurt, The scripture says he had compassion for them because he saw them as sheep without a shepherd, and he would lead them. They watched him as he dealt straightforwardly with the sinners. You know, Jesus mentions no words about sin. Man, he hated sin, but he loved the sinner. And every person who sinned, he offered forgiveness and restoration. And then they saw him praying. They would see him early in the morning before the town begun to stir, going into the mountains to pray. They watched him late at night, after people had settled in for the evening, going into the garden to pray. And as he taught these disciples and ministered to them and walked with them, he constantly prayed for them. You see, and as they lived with the Lord and participated in his ministry, they saw his power, they saw his love, they saw his compassion, and they recognized that there was a connection between the way he lived and the way he prayed. And as a result of that, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And Jesus said, "This is the way you ought to pray." Listen to what he said. "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." We call that the Lord's Prayer. In reality, it is the disciples' prayer. It is the prayer that Jesus used to teach his disciples how to pray. Let me remind you this morning that Jesus never did tell us to pray that prayer. We pray it regularly, and that's all right, so long as we are not just saying words and we have no idea what we are praying. You see, this is the prayer Jesus uses to teach you and me how to pray and to show us the things that ought to be a part of all of our prayer life. And because Jesus said this is the way to pray, it's very important for us to understand what he said. During these next few weeks, we want to take this instruction that Jesus has given to us and see if we cannot come to some understanding of what he is saying when he says, "This is the way you ought to pray." And when we do that, I'm convinced that our prayer life would be quickened and we would become prayer warriors as we stand in the gap and intercede before God on behalf of all of the people. You know, as we come to look at this prayer, let me remind you at the very beginning that there are three parts to this prayer, and they follow in a logical connection. But each one of them ought to be a part of our prayer life. For example, the first part of the prayer has to do with God and all of his glory, and it gives him his supreme place, not only in our lives, but the whole of the universe. And this is the pattern by which we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed is your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The second part of that prayer deals with our needs. And we have the privilege of sharing with him not only about our physical needs, but also about our spiritual needs. This is the pattern. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Do not lead us into temptation and deliver us from the evil one. The third part of the prayer is the ascription. There is no sharing. There are no needs. There are no petitions. Our attention is focused on him, and with our souls standing on tiptoe, with every fiber of our being, we give him the praise and the worship of which he alone is worthy. And this is the pattern. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You know, I'm absolutely convinced this morning that the supernatural power of God is available to every child of God who will bring God into the circumstances of his life. It was Stanley Jones who said, "Whatever you accomplish in life, you will accomplish on your knees. See, I believe that that's true for us individually. I believe that that is true for us as a church. You see, God will release His supernatural power that changes men's lives and makes us whole when we come in faith, we focus our full attentions upon Him, and we pray without ceasing. You know, deep in my spirit, the question that the disciples asked Jesus is rumbling around, and I have to ask it myself. Lord, teach me to pray. Is that the request that you would make of Jesus this morning? And when we make that request, He says, this is the way you do it. During the weeks that are ahead, we want to look at the way He said do it and see what takes place with us as we come to pray. Lord, teach us to pray.